Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
In 1560, in Geneva, Switzerland, the Geneva Bible was published. This was the English version used by the Puritans, the breakoff group from the Church of England. Now, they had fled to Geneva when Queen Mary I, a Catholic, had become queen. They believed that the Bible should be their primary source of authority, not the Queen or the Catholic Church. And the title page of the Geneva Bible even says that it has profitable annotations upon all the hard places. Some of those annotations included comments against the monarchy and the clergy, which, of course, didn't sit well with the Church of England. So then, over 40 years later, in 1604, King James I of England convened the Hampton Court Conference, which was called to discuss a number of theological issues. And one of them was about making a new English translation of the Bible, because King James did not like the anti-monarchy slant in the Geneva Bible. He even called its annotations seditious, dangerous, and traitorous. So then, after 7 years of preparation, in 1611, the King James Version was published. On its title page, there's a depiction of the Trinity with a sun next to it. And the sun symbolized the king. A dedicatory letter to King James right after the title page compared him to the sun in his strength, who drove away the darkness of false religion. The title page also says that it was this version that was appointed to be read in churches. Therefore, it's this translation and not the Geneva Bible, which was approved by their church and their king. And that's why the King James Version has become so popular in history, and why the Geneva Bible has faded into the background. All of that history, I think, is important, because I think that what King James did has had a big influence on how we hear today's gospel reading. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile." King James thought that the Bible should encourage obedience to one's rulers. And his version has influenced biblical translation ever since. So we've come to hear these words of Jesus as basically saying, be really nice to people. In this understanding, turn the other cheek means don't fight back. Give someone the shirt off your back means be extra generous. And go the extra mile means do more than what's expected of you. All of which is great to say if you're trying to keep a subject loyal to a king. Even today, these phrases have become part of our vocabulary, and we still use them to encourage loyal and kind behaviors. But sometimes we still have trouble with them. Like, are we really supposed to tell victims of abuse not to fight back? Do we really have to give away the shirt on our back and not take care of our own needs too? Do we really have to feel guilty for just doing our job and not going above and beyond the call of duty all the time? Well, we're right to ask those questions. Because what King James emphasized is not what Jesus emphasized. Jesus was standing up for those who got stepped on. Think about the start of the Sermon on the Mount and who he calls blessed in the Beatitudes. Basically, Jesus was speaking out for those who had been victimized. And he was calling for nonviolent resistance. So take, for example, what he said about turning the other cheek. If you noticed, he said, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek. Now you sort of have to visualize this one. To get hit on the right cheek means that the abuser would either have to use their right hand and backhand you, or use their left hand and hit you with an open hand. But the left hand was considered unclean, so that hand was out. That meant the abuser would backhand you with the right hand, which they did. Masters would backhand their slaves. Husbands would backhand their wives. Parents would backhand their children. It was a way of someone in authority showing someone else that they were inferior. But if you turned your left cheek, the abuser would have to use their right hand and hit you open-handed. But that was for an equal. The abuser wouldn't want to see you as an equal, so they couldn't use that hand either. By turning the other cheek, you're not asking for another blow. You're making it impossible for them to treat you as an inferior. You're turning the tables on. Same thing with giving the shirt off your back. Deuteronomy 24, 10 to 13 says that a creditor could take a poor person's coat over an unpaid loan. But Jesus, though, says that if someone takes your coat, you should give them the shirt off your back, too. Not to be extra nice, but because then you would be completely naked. And then you could say to everyone around you in court, look at what this person has done to me. They have left me with nothing. The shame would be on the creditor for leaving you naked. Everyone would know that was wrong. You'd turn the tables again. And then there's the part about going the extra mile. In Jesus' day, Roman soldiers carried packs that weighed anywhere from 65 to 80 pounds. And the officers had donkeys or slaves to carry their packs. But the rank and file soldiers didn't. But those soldiers could force anyone they wanted to carry their packs for them. Kind of think about how Simon of Cyrene was pulled from the crowd to carry Jesus' cross. It's the same kind of idea. Now the soldiers could make the person carry their packs for 1 mile as a way to humiliate them. But it was against military law to make them go more than a mile. If the soldier did so, then the commanding officer would punish them for breaking the law. So when Jesus said, go a second mile, he's saying, make sure the soldier gets punished. Just imagine how funny it would be to see a Roman soldier begging a Jew to give his pack back to him. Who's in charge now? It's turning the tables again. Therefore, Jesus isn't saying, don't rebel, be giving, and do more than is required. He's saying, turn the tables. Resist those in authority who mean to abuse you, and do so nonviolently. Unlike King James, Jesus was calling people to stand up to abuse and victimization. But what does that look like today? Well, consider what happened just a few weeks ago, on February 8th in the U.S. Senate. Senator Elizabeth Warren was standing before the Senate, debating President Trump's nomination of Jeff Sessions to become Attorney General. And she was reading from a 1986 letter from Coretta Scott King, who had opposed Sessions becoming a federal judge at the time. While reading the letter, Senator Warren was interrupted by the Senate Chair Steve Daines. And then the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell refused to let her finish her speech. The two men in power had verbally slapped her on the right cheek, so to speak. Later, when asked about what happened, McConnell said of Warren, she was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted. And now, what was supposed to be the silencing of one woman has now turned into a rally cry for women across this country. Trending topic, hashtag she persisted. Crowds of people have rallied around Warren and around all other women whose voices get cut off. They're telling those in power that they will not be silenced. They're resisting nonviolently. But what about us? Right? What about when we are given a literal or verbal smack in our lives? What about when someone in authority wants to use their power over us? Well, if you're in an abusive relationship, you don't have to stand there and take it. Report it. Make it so that you are not being treated as a victim anymore. If someone's trying to take everything you have, then point out their wrong behavior to others. Expose them for what they're doing. If someone is forcing you to do something that treats you as less than a child of God, then use the law against them. Make sure they get punished. In other words, the bully is not in charge over you. The abuser does not define you. And the one who is trying to hurt you does not have the final say. Instead, Jesus does. And he is the one we follow. I have a feeling that's part of the reason why King James wanted his new translation. He wanted his subjects to just sit down, shut up, and do what they're told. But we obey Jesus. And in doing so, we stand up and we speak out for ourselves and for anyone else who gets stepped on. Basically, we show the world what it really means to turn the other cheek, give the shirt off our back, and go the extra mile. We show them that hashtag Jesus persisted. So in the name of the one we follow and obey, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.